Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, good morning, happy people, friends around the country. We're glad you're here. I'm Cash Matthews, your host today for another riveting episode of Cash Flows. And our guest today is Ryan Jamieson. We'll introduce him in a minute, but first we want to say hello to the man behind the lens and the microphone, Mr. Kenneth Bockham. Kenneth, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
What are the phrases? Like, if I was any better, I'd be twins. I never understood that one. But I've had a great day, man. Things are well, and I had a good breakfast with my prayer group this morning.
Yeah.
Life's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
You know, we're excited to be here. So welcome to Cash Flows, everybody. Our philosophy in life is, pretty much do things as they come. And so we call that, if you see it on the sign back there, fire, aim, ready. And that philosophy is just about getting started, moving forward, step by step, inch by inch, whatever it takes. But if you're moving in a direction, move forward towards your goals, your dreams, your aspirations. And God does not need to steer a parked car. And if you're a prayer person, I think there's action involved. And so we were excited today to bring in a fellow that I am fond of, who talks about taking action, Mr. Ryan Jamieson. Ryan, welcome to Cash Flows.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we'll try to not muck this up for you, but I know you've got a lot to say.
I might be able to do that on my own, too. We'll find out.
Well, we've all got that capacity. I've watched some of our outtakes, and we've done a few things. So, Ryan, give us just a brief update about your career, your business, why you're here, what your business is called. You know, give us your elevator pitch here.
The elevator pitch. I like it. Yeah. Okay, so basically the elevator pitch is I've been a serial entrepreneur almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, and I really just don't know any other way of living. after my time in the military, got involved in restaurants. That's where I kind of started consulting, and it just evolved from there. And this is my calling.
Yeah, so you're one of those guys that'll work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week.
80 hours a week would be a vacation, if you ask my wife.
Yeah. Wow. So give us your family dynamic. You're married.
Yes. Very, very blessedly so. I have my wife, Kat, and then I have three beautiful demons, children and one boy, two girls, and I adore them very much.
And you suspect one day they will have watched Dad so often that they, too, shall become entrepreneurs.
My son is already actually showing tendencies. He is he's been running around drawing people pictures and then giving them to him and asking for $1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, you have to tell him first, kid. Like, you have to set the price first before you give it to him.
But hey, that's a starting point.
That's a solid pitch.
You already have it. Well, that's pretty cool. So you grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. Mm. What kind of businesses did you grow up around?
Before I was around or aware, my father started a lumber yard.
Oh.
And after that one went the direction it went, he then started studying for his Series 7, 66, and opened his own financial firm.
Okay.
And that is where I watched someone display how to work hard.
Right.
I'm one of six kids. We were all homeschooled all the way through high school. My mom stayed home, and she always had some entrepreneurial thing going on as well, and she homeschooled all of us.
And wow, God bless your mom. Six kids homeschooled.
I'm telling you,
all the way through.
All the way through.
This is not a homeschool conversation, but it can be for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think that affected you through your life? I mean, it's a different visual, not going to public schools, and not that they're bad. God bless the teachers, but
right.
I mean, how did that affect you visually as you went forward in life? And to become an entrepreneur and to become a coach of entrepreneurs.
Right. I think that it was a gift that I really didn't understand when I was younger.
Yeah.
And having the ability to look back in hindsight now, I really see the gift my parents gave me.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It was focused on teaching me how to think. Right. I wasn't being taught or trained on a subject. You know, we were encouraged to learn, you know, two to three instruments. We were encouraged to play chess. We were encouraged to go to dance lessons on top of all our regular subjects as well.
Right.
My parents really used that opportunity to teach me how life operated and how it operated in high-stakes environments and how to think.
Wow.
As a child, I just wanted to go play basketball.
That was it.
That was it.
And did you ever play basketball competitively anywhere? You're tall.
No, no. I've actually been.
Can you shoot?
Hoops?
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
I respect sports for their economic value to their geographic locales. Other than that, go sporty hoops. They probably did me a favor there too.
Go sports team.
Yeah.
So what? But what a great foundation! What a great upbringing!
Absolutely.
And then you'll homeschool your children as well.
Right now we are homeschooling, just kind of as a carryover from COVID, and I'm not sure if that tradition is going to continue or not. However, knowing what I know now, that is definitely going to change their educational trajectory.
Right.
For sure. Yeah. It's a focus on unlocking their mind. You know, not just shuffling them from one grade to another, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've partially homeschooled our children all their lives at this point. And the things that you talk about, the extra things, writing poetry, learning a musical thing, traveling, we called that world schooling.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things you can do for your kids and even for your own heart is to go see how some of the rest of the world lives.
Go travel, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get educated, you want to find out, you want to do some American history and go to India or go to some of these places like Haiti that struggle and we'd be so thankful to be here in America, and we've got it good. But with that, we do have it good.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're out in the entrepreneurial world now as a coach. And let's talk about first the name of your coaching enterprise.
Okay, it's called Entrepreneur Fight.
All right, and we can find you at entrepreneurfight.com?
That is correct.
All right, tell us about Entrepreneur Fight. Yeah, I mean, just give us the little overview of that.
So the snapshot of Entrepreneur Fight, it's the brainchild of the entrepreneurial experience from beginning to at least where I'm at now.
Okay.
And it was built with my younger entrepreneurial self in mind.
Oh, okay. It's, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And because, you know, when you start, you struggle, you know, and there's a lot that goes into that. And I remember just wanting someone to take a shot on me. Just someone, like if someone would show up for like 15 minutes, right, or be able to answer a question once or twice a week. And so that's what Entrepreneur Fight is designed to be, is a community where we all come together as entrepreneurs. We share experiences. We have educational resources. So it's fairly new. So we're growing and we're learning. And I'm hoping to have other mentors, coaches, and educators join me in the platform soon.
That's a great idea. So what made you decide, though, to be like a direct coach? I mean, Entrepreneur Fight's a cool thing.
Right.
And but your coaching is more one-on-one right now with entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, so there's a few coaches out there.
A few.
And I love coaching. I love the concept of coaching. I think without it, we're doomed. Tell us what made you decide to be a coach.
I kind of fell into that by accident. I'm not, like, to be perfectly frank, I fell into it. After I got out of the military, I started in restaurants because it was like, you know, just taming chaos, and I loved it.
Right.
And so I got asked by some other restaurant owners after I'd had some time, like, you know, how would they fix this? You know, so I kind of did some consulting, and then people just kept, like, showing up and asking. And I was like, all right, well, hey, you know, I'm going to charge for this. And then I found out that I really enjoyed it and kind of branched out from restaurants into entrepreneurs. And now I do it because I am mildly irritated by the massive industry that targets entrepreneurs, specifically newer ones.
Right.
So
you said there's a lot of coaches out there. We said that kind of jokingly in your intake. Do we need more? Are we short a few?
No, I don't think we're short a few. That's for sure. Let's put it this way. There is a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people out there that say they know something and they're willing to give it to you. However, what ends up happening is they tap you. They use that whole, like, address the problem, agitate the problem, make it worse, make you feel like they can save you, and they walk off, essentially, in some cases. You know? And so I just became obsessed with empowering entrepreneurs. Like, that's to help them fight the odds, right? That's my mission. That's who I am.
Okay, so let's let's focus on fighting the odds.
Okay.
I mean, first, we all know the odds of sustaining as an entrepreneur beyond a few years. A lot of people give these numbers, 80% fail. Like, I don't know about that. I don't like to focus on that. That's too generic for me.
Right.
Because the question an entrepreneur wants to know is not what the other 40 million do. What are my odds?
What do I do?
What is my chance to go make it? And so let's talk about the odds. What do you tell me about the odds?
So the reason why I focus primarily on startup through the first 3 years is because that's where the majority of them struggle. Or when you're first starting out a business, this is where everything is new, right? And so, like, some of the odds they face, right? They face the lack of agile resources. They face a business credit system that can be very difficult to understand, right? And they face a very motivated pseudo-education industry that focuses on them.
Right.
And not that there isn't good, you know, there's obviously good resources, and there's a lot of people I can recommend that I've spent a lot of money on people, obviously. But there's a lot of bad actors out there, too. And when you're new, how can you tell the difference?
Right. How do you differentiate? So what then is the difference between and I think this is an important question.
Yeah.
And I think I have you pigeonholed into one more of these. There are a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of great coaches. Like, I love some of these people. But then there's also this role of mentor.
Mm.
Yeah. And I know a little bit about you. I know you're a coach, but I also see you as a mentor to some people. And I think that's a much deeper relationship, one that, you know.
It definitely is.
Probably has a lot longer timeline, regardless of the money.
Yeah.
Talk to us about mentorship.
So the difference I see between mentorship and coaching. Coaching is essentially where you take someone where they're at. You assess their individual situation.
There you go.
Right? And then you work with that situation specifically. A mentor is someone who comes alongside you, gets to know you as an individual, and works with you based on how you're built as a person. And I learned that from my mentor.
Yeah.
You know, it's not uncommon for my mentor to be just announced out of nowhere, don't do that, Ryan. Like, how'd you know?
Right.
You know, don't do that. I don't like people know me like that.
Can a coach be your mentor?
I think
A different role?
I think to a certain degree, yes and no. So for instance, like in the beginning, again, the startup, the first 3 years, it's difficult to find a resource that is, one, accessible, and two, able to work with you in a variety of roles without encumbering you with a variety of different systems. So, yes, I think coaches can be mentors, but only in a very specific time period in your business.
Right.
Those roles definitely need to be separated. Just on average, I found it's around the 2 to 3 year mark.
Right.
My goal is to get them away from me as soon as possible.
So you and I have been part of the same pretty large group of networking people here in this community, over 7,000 people.
Love it, too.
And the majority of those are under 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're finding, and those numbers I mentioned, X number of people fail in the first 3 to 5 years. And that's true.
Yes.
But you're working in that world to change that end result.
Yes.
Is there one common thing that those entrepreneurs face on a daily or monthly basis?
Yes.
Yeah, what is that thing?
Entrepreneurs have been told or sold what to think from day one.
Oh, okay.
And
expand on this for a minute. This
yeah, absolutely. Like, and again, this is like what's the thing I trace back to the gift of being homeschooled. Thinking critically is not an easy skill to pick up. And like I said, entrepreneurs are faced by an industry that is very eager to tell them or sell them on what to think, because that's how you sell courses, right? Again,
right.
Not dogging on courses. I have a few courses to sell too, right?
Sure.
But what I have found is when I work with entrepreneurs, typically in this startup through this first 3 year phase, by simply taking the time to teach them how to get to know themselves and how to work with themselves and how to think through their own processes and how to use those processes of who you are and the way you're built in your business, you get so much further. Right. You know?
And probably quicker as well.
Oh, yeah. And it stays longer. It has staying power because you're not on some sort of a self-explorative journey at the same time as, you know, like I always, this is a very industry piece of advice, I know, but I always tell entrepreneurs, especially new ones, don't go on a journey of self-discovery when you're starting a business. You need to start a business to see who you are. You need to know who you are. You need to deal with it as the way you are. Because if you go in and you start changing yourself, okay, I mean, and again, self-improvement's great, but if you start changing who you are as you're starting a new business, that business will never go anywhere because it doesn't have an identity because you don't have one.
Right. So, and by the time they've started some entrepreneurial endeavor, presumably they've already found themselves or discovered themselves.
That would be the hope. Yeah. You would be surprised. Knowing what you do, you probably wouldn't be surprised, but there's a lot that don't even know that's a thing.
Well, there are active entrepreneurs. I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur from the time I was 8. It never occurred to me that I'd ever have a job.
Right.
So I was an active entrepreneur. It was just going to happen. But we also find there are lots of reactive entrepreneurs. Mm. I lost a job, a spouse, an opportunity, something happened, I had an illness, and they find themselves being. So those are more reactive entrepreneurs. Can you work with both sides of that?
Yeah. So as a coach / mentor or within the program or platform itself, the goal is to find out where you are and give you what you need to move to the next step to where I can, again, in other ways this sounds, but my goal is to hand you off to someone as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Right? Because the world that I'm in, the place that these entrepreneurs are typically in when I work with them is chaotic.
Yes.
It's confusing. There's a lot of fear. I mean, like, you know, you don't want to admit it when you're new. You got to, you know,
drive
the car and, you know, I'm doing great. And inside you're like wanting to puke because you don't have to make payroll, you know?
Right.
So it's, and I know what that feels like, you know? So it's an interesting position, that's for sure. But
so moving forward, I mean, let's talk for a second just about coaching in general, because I am a coaching fan. I believe in it 100%. If you're doing it, like if you're acting as a coach, man, I think that's a worthy position. I love athletics. I'm a golfer. I was a bicycle racer. You know, I've managed things.
What a mild way to put that, bicycle racer.
I've managed stuff for some Olympians, you know, and I get to see performance at a high level.
Mm.
I was able to perform for a while at a high level. I'm a big fan of golf. Favorite golfer is Jack Nicklaus. Every January, even when he was already had climbed the mountain, would go back to his coach every year and say, hey, teach me to play golf. Start from the beginnings. And guys like Tiger Woods and John Elway, people that I have favor with them, but that are athletes that I follow, and Larry Bird, man, they give a lot of, Michael Jordan, give a lot of credit to the coaching they received on the way up. And there are so many of us entrepreneurs that we aspire, and I'll just call it the rock star level, you know. We aspire to this rock star level of life. We want to make it big, but we don't want to do the things that the rock star level of people do. And the one thing that they all have in common is they have a coach.
Yes.
I love watching some of the, like the hard rock band. I love all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But you see one of the guys that's in, you know, some death metal deal. But when they talk to him as a human, not the stage guy, but as a human, he'll say, man, my fifth grade music teacher taught me how to play cello.
There was this catalyst moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think coaches recognize in others things that those others only imagine to be true about themselves.
Mm.
And so I salute the coaches, man. I have been coached, and, you know, we all have a...
The same.
What's the right word? I guess we all have a blind spot, Kenneth.
That's a bias. Yeah. Bias blindness is what I call it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't see what's... You know, even as a coach, right? I have a mentor.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to have one.
Right.
And there'll be times where I'm like, I do not understand why this isn't working. And my mentor will be like, because you know you shouldn't do it like that. That's, you tell your people not to do it like that. I'm like, oh, am I doing it backwards? And he goes,
right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Well, we can't see what we can't see. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And to have that extra set of eyes, to have another set of eyes. And I don't know, you know, I think people get caught up on the price worrying about paying somebody. And the last coach we visited with, you know, our topic was, hey, you know, the cost of having a coach is X, but you ought to see the cost of not having a coach.
Mm.
If you're, you know, if you're pursuing a dream or a vision or a plan,
right,
and having that extra set of eyeballs, it's worth 10X easy.
Yeah.
In my brain. So very cool. We're going to take a quick break and say thank you to some of our sponsors today. Kenneth, who do we have?
This episode is sponsored by MFP, My Financial Plan. With My Financial Plan, keep everything you own in one secure, accessible place. See everything you own and know what everything is worth. Benefits include a personal financial website with daily balances and budgeting tools. It's accessible anytime, and you can get it for yourself at joinmfp.com.
All right, thank you for that, sir. We're glad to have MFP as a sponsor. And we're here today with Ryan Jamison. You can find Ryan on the web at entrepreneurfight.com. You'll have to Google how to spell entrepreneur.
Still use spell check.
Yeah, entrepreneurfight.com. And Ryan Jamison is a coach for entrepreneurs. And we're talking today about those first 3 years of business.
Mm.
And, you know, how critical that is. You know, as an entrepreneur, usually a newer entrepreneur or new endeavor. So, well, let's segue out of that. And I understand your mission, and I admire it, and I support it 100%.
Well, thank you.
But we have to ask the question that our listeners and viewers are asking, and why you?
Why me?
Yeah, let's talk about you for a second. Why not some other coach? Why not some other method? Can't we just go to Dr. Google or find it online?
Go to University of YouTube.
Yes, the University of that's a new one.
You know, I know that, you know, I'm not sure. That's the thing. It's like, I know that usually there's some sort of spiel we're supposed to launch into as coaches. Like, you can believe me, you know, and
right.
It's like, I just never got that. But here's what I can tell you. I remember what it felt like. I remember it being confusing. I remember the fear. I remember standing on the porch of my house asking myself, how do I tell my wife that I can't pay any of these bills? I remember that vividly. And that is what formed me as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, I'm really doing this for me. I'm doing this for the younger me, for the younger entrepreneurs. Now, obviously, I can't go back in time, but so I'm going back for the others to give them what I was just dying for.
Right.
You know. So I'm not saying I'm the best coach out there. Probably far from it. But what I am is I'm coming back for you, and I'll give you what I have. And I'll tell you what I know, and I will get you to the next expert that I can get you to. And so that's why me.
Well, I think that's a great answer. I noticed recently you had stated a goal publicly, like just during this year, you want to meet 100 new entrepreneurs face-to-face for coffee. And I always felt like, and I've met with you a few times, and I always enjoy our time together, but I think those moments just, I think the first coaching event for everybody is when you sit down to have coffee and they have that moment where they become themselves around you. You know, the bravado might be gone, and that may take two visits, but you know, I think there's a very subtle thing. I mean, there you find a value in these one-on-ones that we do out for coffee, you know, or do people open up to you?
I have a very selfish reason for doing one-on-ones.
Okay, let's do dish.
As you stated earlier, a large number of the people in the group, the Bong, are in their first 1 to 3. And it's easy because, you know, I own another company with my brother. I'm so blessed to work with my family. And it's easy to get into life and into business and forget where you came from. And it's easy to forget the people that need you, right? And so I do these one-on-ones, one, because these are my people, right?
This
is what I'm born to do. This is what I am born to do. But you can't do what you're born to do if you get disconnected from it. So yeah, I sit down and we have one-on-ones, and there'll be a few. And I've actually told a few people that I've met this. I'm like, hey, so I have a problem. And they're like, what's that? And I'm like, I tend to kind of turn these things into coaching sessions, and then I never shut up. And they're like, oh, okay. But by the end of it, it's usually something along the lines of like, you know, thank you. And it's a common practice to post a picture, you know, in the bong afterwards. And I started forgetting to do that. And then in my world, right, what I teach is I'm like, we don't do things on accident.
Right.
There's a subconscious reason. So I went on that exploration journey. And what I realized was, if people know that I do these one-on-ones, and they know that they end up turning into coaching sessions of some sort, putting them out there on the internet saying, hey, they met with a business coach, may not be what they want, what they need, or what works for them.
So you think there's some kind of social stigma that people might have if you're working
absolutely.
With a coach?
Especially in this 1 to 3 meeting with a coach is, I have found to be very stigmatized.
Wow. You know. My name is Cash Matthews. I've been in business 42 years, and I've used a coach for about 35 of them, and I still do today. And without my coaching team and mentors, this thing that has worked for us would not have worked nearly as well. I love flying places to get coaching. Three or four times a year, I'll be gone for 3 or 4 days to go sit with a notepad and humility.
Right, and just learn. I mean, like, you know, you spend money on this stuff, right? Of course, but you know, well into the 6 figures I've spent on education.
Sure.
For myself.
Oh yeah.
I'm investing in me, right?
This is
not a game where I get to be like, I guess this is the right thing.
Right.
Do I really want to go home to my wife and kids and be like, hey, I guessed?
I did okay. I don't know. It was okay.
It's fine. You know. So yeah, no, it's. I will have a mentor until the day I die.
Yeah, for sure. And you wouldn't go to a doctor that didn't get continuing education?
Oh, not,
you,
yeah.
I mean, you want
these... Not on purpose.
You want these professionals in your life to be coached?
Yeah.
You know?
And you need...
That's a tough one to go to somebody and go, hey, where'd you learn all this? Like, yeah, you know, the YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube. I got it in school.
TikTok. Yeah. It's a... well, you can always tell... This is a litmus test, right? You can always tell... someone who is a good coach or mentor, if they talk about their failures, if they talk about their mistakes, the things they did wrong, you know, how to avoid these things, and how to leave them. So my mentor, Eric, and I dread this day, there's a day where he's going to send me out the door.
Right.
And I really don't want that to happen.
Right.
But he knows there's a time, and so do I.
Time to move on.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we're called to do that. You know, time to move on, move up. And, you know, but that's, I think that moment, even when a coach like you moves on and moves up, it's to the next better thing.
Yes. Yes, I have to continue. I have to continue bettering myself because there's more I need to know. Not, and yes, because I want to better myself, but because I want to be better for the people I work with.
Yeah.
You know, my mission is to work with them. So why would I, you know, subject myself to ignorance isn't the right word, but why would I allow myself to get dull?
Yeah, for sure. You know? Yeah, that's people want a rock star lifestyle, but they have a G chord mentality, and they've learned one little part of it.
And, man, I hate that rock star lifestyle thing.
Hey, I have a whole other rock star lifestyle story I'll tell you off the air. But you know, I think what you said there about a coach sharing their failures, I think that is so beautiful and brutal. And we're going to do a podcast on my failures. It'll be 372 hours for episode 1.
Can I come
in a 10-session series? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really big memory card we record that.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you don't learn from succeeding.
Right.
You observe from succeeding. Oh, do this, and
right.
Do this. But, man, it's the failures that really burn. I mean—
Fail fast, fail often.
Yeah.
Learn.
But move forward. Stumble forward.
Right.
You know, that's been
falling
my
falling forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a stumble forward guy.
Mm.
And I don't know if I learned that from a coach or just from practical application. And somebody, when I first started, said, man, try to get 1% better a month. And then in 5 years, you're 50% better. And then I'm like, well, what if I could get 1% better a week or 2% better a week? And now that I have been in this realm for 42 years, I think anybody can get better 2% a week.
Yeah. That's entirely possible.
By what you read, what you listen to, turn the TV off, shut off social media. You know, get a coach, write down. I mean, just some of the basics that I think all three of us take for granted. But I think anybody can get 2% better a week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think they can do that 100 weeks in a row. And all of a sudden they go from, a starting income. You know, we have a person in our Bong group. I don't want to say who they are, but they started their business like 2 weeks before coming to the first Bong event. Mm. They've been coming now for 2 years. Income first year, $14,000. They're just getting going. Like, it was right. tough, and we don't know what we're doing. Income second year, I got to make sure I get this right, $95,000.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm there. Income for this year, 2024, on track for $165,000.
That's freaking fantastic.
And no college degree. You know, and if you measure this person's life against yours, you would say that they've had some more challenges.
Mm.
And here this person is like, yeah, I've got some challenges. They're over here, but my future's over here. And I love those stories, man. Like, I'll listen to that story all day, every day, because, you know, they aren't supposed to fly, but they do.
Yeah.
And they
often fly the furthest.
And people, you know, what if I fail? Well, what if I fly? You know, what if it works?
I tell people all the time, like, you are in the best country in the world to fail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, in other countries, if you fail, like, okay, you're going to starve in the gutter now.
Possibly.
Here, it's like, all right, well, you know, if you have to, you declare bankruptcy, and you go to the, in some cases, like the government programs, and make sure you eat, and then you get back on the horse. You know, this is a great country to fail in, you know.
Absolutely. And this is a great city to be in for business, honestly.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got
moved here for
7,000 plus members, and if any of you is hungry or homeless, you can come live with me and I'll feed you. And there's hundreds of us with that thing in our world.
I love teaching people skills and trades and stuff, so I'm always down to do that too.
Well, so let's talk about Entrepreneur Fight. I want to hear about that. What is it? How does it work?
So Entrepreneur Fight, like I said, is the brainchild. It's the culmination of a series of experiences that went one direction or the other. When humans experience trauma, they go violently in the other direction.
Right.
Right? And it's a memory that gets burned into your brain, and it starts wiring things. The only way to unwire is to get around someone who can say, hey, I see where you're hurt, but trust me, you have to try it again. It's a community. We have to be communities. And I was telling you earlier, like this rock star grind culture toxic crap.
Yeah.
Okay. It hurts people. It ruins people because it tells you, put your head down, go to work. If you're not making money, work harder because obviously something's wrong with you.
Right.
And in a community of people, there's people like me, like you, like Kenneth, and then say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Who are you? You know? And so Entrepreneur Fight was developed by myself and my brother Ethan was also a big part of it. And we wanted a community to exist solely for entrepreneurs. There's a platform that we've been developing and working on. It's basically there. But what it is it's a, like, I call it a social learning network.
Oh, nice.
So there's a social media component to it. We get together. There's, you know, can you say newsfeed? I'm going to say it anyway.
Sure.
There's like newsfeed. There's groups. There's social groups. There's education. You know, right now I'm the only one on there in terms of a mentor because, you know, no one's ever never invited anybody yet. But I made it in a way where it's like, if you are a mentor and you have something to offer, come in here.
Right.
Like, help me fight for these younger versions of ourselves. You know, we cannot forget where we came from. And the entrepreneurs who forget where they came from don't understand what success is.
Right.
So they may have money or some really cool stuff, but that's not success in my book.
So entrepreneurfight.com, by the way, is where you can meet and greet Ryan Jameson and learn about his coaching protocol and maybe create a relationship with him mm-hmm. that could rapidly and long-term benefit the outcome
yeah.
of all these efforts.
My username is FirstFighter87 on it.
FirstFighter87?
Had to come up with one to test it.
So is it an interactive kind of group? Is it a group setting? Do people talk to each other on your website, or is it just for receiving information?
That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to allow people to put information out. If you look at like a Facebook group, there's a place where people can put information out and kind of mingle with each other. However, where I feel like the platform differs is we're able to create specific groups around a mentor or around courses or around content specifically. And it allows us to say, hey, you know, if you're inside this, if you're specifically learning about how to run the taxes better, right? Which I will not be teaching, by the way.
Right.
You know, there's just going to be a specific group for that. There's going to be the educator and other people in there sharing their experiences. And it's going to really condense that information down to its most potent form. And it's not going to be drowned out by a bunch of other random stuff. The random stuff, the fun stuff, the social stuff, it has its place over sure. there.
Right.
This is
but not in here.
Right.
Got it.
And my main request, and I mean, as we develop, my main request of other mentors, course creators and stuff, obviously, I need to meet you first, right? We need to talk first for sure. My main request is I need you to put out one at least free course or coaching or teaching something, because a large part of why people struggle with mentorship is that price tag,
right?
And so, like, I remember, like, going to visit a mentor, and they're like, yeah, it's like, you know, $8,000 for a month. I'm like,
right.
I have no doubt that you're worth it. None. Like, I know you're worth it.
Right.
Can you teach me how to make the money for you so I can give it to you? And they just looked at me like they had never heard of that concept. And so Entrepreneur Fight is also designed to help you earn the stages, earn the money to get through these places and get right. through these things. You know, it's not enough to say, hey, we know you need it and this is what it's worth. It needs to be, here's how you're going to make that money to get that first entrepreneur or get that first mentor.
Got it. Very cool. All right. Well, now, as we talked about earlier, you're kind of perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
And you have it all figured out. And you're wildly successful.
Listen. Well, I think the only one who thinks I'm perfect would be like if you viewed me from God's eyes, right, or right. his perspective.
Sure.
Or my daughter. My daughters think I'm perfect. That will be great someday.
Yeah.
Until they're 13.
Right.
I wish I could say I had it all figured out, but that's why I have a mentor. You know, my mentor, Eric, has shaped my life in a way that you can't sit down and describe. So I can't say, you know, have it all figured out, but I did figure out the most important part. Which you is? Can't buy experience, but you can pay experienced people.
Ooh.
You know,
I think that
that's a quote that's from Walt Jameson. That was my father. He put that one together. That I totally awesome. Stole it. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, now it's yours.
Yeah, it's mine now. It's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
As far, yeah, by my metrics, I am wildly successful.
There you go. Yeah. Well, so I know you're a man of faith. Tell us how your faith and your business and your philosophies all intertwine.
Mm. So now this is a really fun one. And I found that entrepreneurs who, you know, who are believers have a couple of very common struggles. I have to pursue financial gain. But how do I do that without money becoming my idol? You know, what's the difference between giving God the glory and using him as an advertisement or billboard? And what I have found as an entrepreneur in my faith system is I start every morning intentionally having a conversation out loud The power of speaking out loud is not to be understated. I spend my time first thing in the morning speaking out loud to the Lord. I'm saying, hey, let's do this. Are you ready? Like, I mean, obviously he's ready.
But, are you ready?
Yeah. Like, all right, am I ready? You know, what do you got coming today? You know, and I'm just excited to participate in it. And I found that if I do that and I walk, I actively walk in my faith, in my life, my businesses, my home, my family, everything falls the way it needs to, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't look the way I think it should, because, you know, I have very strong opinions. I know that's a surprise to you, but... You know.
That's not surprising to me. Well, I mean, a coach should have some strong opinions.
A few, yeah. Right. I have some opinions that don't make a lot of
friends.
And a
man of faith should have some opinions.
A few.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So tell me, let's before we get into our final, our biz nugget at the end, bite, talk a little bit about the metrics of defining success, because I think you have a different view than most people. You're not a big fan of the work 100 hours a week and avoid your family.
Right.
You're not a fan of success at all costs, and I admire that about you. I think success at all costs will, you know, cost you.
Success is a word that's been weaponized by people who sell stuff, and I find it unfortunate because it's hard to talk about success with people without them immediately getting an image of a Learjet, a Lamborghini, and piles of cash.
Right.
And... okay, my personal metric of success. I get to go home to a house every night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's people that don't get that.
Right.
I get to go home to my family. There's some people that don't have that. I have a relationship with my earthly father in a way that sons dream about having, you know. It's the kind of relationship I hope to have with my son, you know. I get to watch my daughters grow up and help hopefully show them some poor version of what a man should look like. I get to experience life every day with my best friend and my soulmate, my wife. But all of that stuff aside, I know that my eternal future is secured because I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and nothing else comes close. The mere thought or suggestion of anything other just feels so empty, you know? I've had money. It's not that fun, you know? I've had nice cars, you know? What I do now is we get a car, right? We post it for sale, and that's what I drive. Because everywhere I go, I'm advertising a car for sale.
Ah.
Right? Why not? But that's my metric for success. I measure it by the weight of my soul.
That's beautiful, man. And the idea that, you know, and I think a lot of us lose this. I had lost this for a portion of my own time out working and trying to build and run high and, you know, you're who's who in business, but you're who's he at home.
Mm.
And that's no way to live. And
I'm going to steal that.
You may.
That's good.
That was my life for a while. And yeah. I was never really concerned about, you know, some of the physical stuff. I'm a beige human, and I drive a beige vehicle, and the paint on my house is beige. And I like that middle road where my family is first. You know, in my daily activities, you know, and I'm thankful for my faith. And some people say my faith is first. Well, it kind of becomes everything.
Right.
And then that's the bubble of your life. And then inside that, you know, number one, you want to take care of your family.
Right.
That's what we're called to do. And then your business sort of follows that, and hopefully they blend. And
I mean, we all make mistakes, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like recently I've been working more hours than usual. My wife is carrying the water, you know, but, you know, that's our partnership, right?
Right.
So, you know, shout out to the domestic engineers. There isn't a world where we're going to do it perfect.
Oh, gosh.
But no. The goal is when my kids look back on my life or look back at their dad, when the people I've interacted with look back at what I did. You know, when I entered their world and then exited it, I want the impression to be that the overwhelming net effect was good, yes, but I also want them to look at it and go, there was something really supernaturally different about that guy.
Yeah.
Because I want them to go find that ultimate success that I have.
Right.
You know, the eternal security.
All right. We are here with Ryan Jamieson. Ryan is the founder of EntrepreneurFight.com. He's a business coach and somebody that you at least ought to have a cup of coffee with, because it might turn into a coaching session.
And I love coffee.
And he loves coffee. So that's a good sign. Ryan, let's do our end of the story business bite, or what do we call it?
Oh yeah, the biz bite?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't have the sound effect ready. I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, man.
Biz bites?
There it is.
Biz bites?
All right.
Do it for you next time. Biz bites?
That's pretty good right there. You got a second career blooming. All right, talk to us. Just give us a nugget that an entrepreneur could hear and take with them, and something that I could use today also.
Yeah. I think the most important thing that I could tell an entrepreneur today, if I had like 10 seconds, lose the fantasy of being a superhero entrepreneur. No one gets there on their own, and you won't either. You need to find your team. You need to find your Eric. You need to find your network. You need to find your eternal security, and you need to immerse yourself in it. And your true metric of success, whether you know what your true metric of success is or not, your true metric of success will show up for you.
All right, Kenneth? Pretty good stuff today, right?
Yeah, it is.
All right, we're here with Ryan Jamieson, EntrepreneurFight.com. You can also find him on Facebook and YouTube. And
I'm around.
He's around. You can find him on TulsaBong.com. This very podcast and video will be on TulsaBong.com.
Absolutely.
And all over YouTube under the Cash Flows with Cash Matthews podcast. So I think that's going to be a wrap for today. We thank you for being here. This show is designed to help other people. It is designed to help you move forward at your pace and on your goals and not somebody else's. And we love having coaches in that can really delineate, you know, and talk about finding your spot. You know, God knit you together, especially unique in your mother's womb. And what a great time to be alive in this world. Guys, today as we wrap up, let's think about one thing. Maybe today is a great day to go forgive somebody who absolutely doesn't deserve it. And forgiveness is rarely about that other person, but it is about you and having a clear path to run on. And sometimes those anchors that we've attached to our own belt need to be dismantled and tossed into the deepest part of the ocean, and therefore you're able to run free, because after all, you've been forgiven eternally. Wouldn't it be great to forgive somebody who's done something to you? God bless you all. Amen. Thanks for being here today with Cash Flows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.